Sefer Dalet, Sif Dalet. Ner shekava v'rotzel lahadlika b'bayom, a ner which went out, and you want to relight it for that same day. So now the question is, do you have any limitations of what you're allowed to do? So mutter lachtech resh apsila kadei shehe noach lidolik. You're allowed to cut off the top of the wick, which the top of the wick has this, you know, burnt, charred carbon, which is there. You want to get rid of that, so that now you'll have a good wick to relight it with. So that's considered mutter. Don't consider that the act of fixing the wick is like you're doing some type of tikkun mana of making a kli. Okay. And we'll see some limitations in that Mishnah Berurah.
Thank you. What, a candle on top?
No, not. It's more talking about a. Well, it could be true by a candle also, but they were talking about an oil lamp, yeah. Hagov, Vashire Shemin Upsila, Mutar Mephila Beyamtif, Akhar Shabbos.
Nair.
Yeah, Nair usually means an oil lamp.
It does?
Yeah. Vashire Shemin Upsila. The leftovers of the oil and the psila. We're talking about filling the yomtiv, achar Shabbos, or sheim tayv mishal Rosh Hashanah. They're much even in that situation. Okay, so what's the chiddush of that is? You see the mishnah which we have in Bava Melikin, which talks about that Rabbi Yossi is mecha holds when you put out the wick, when you put out the fire. You're creating some type of tikkun in the wick, that the wick is now more usable for the next time. When you like you light your wife's neiras Erev Shabbos, that they, when she lights them, they should be ready to go. And so if you make a new wick and you light it, the first time it lights, it takes a long time till it starts strong. You light it one time beforehand, it relights much better. So now we have the following concern. We could argue if that's true, that's considered a tikkun. We know that in the case where Shabbos is part is tiyamtiv, or the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, you can't do any type of tikkun from one day to the next. And any tikkun which is done from one day to the next, even if it was done passively, you can't benefit from it. So that's a very broad statement. We're going to qualify that. So that's to tell me that that's not true. That we don't say that this is considered a tikkun of the sort which would take place on Shabbos, which would prohibit it from being used on Yom Tov. Okay. Zok the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Chav Zayin. Okay. He went out and he wants to light it. Relight it on that day. Baba Yom. Dim roitzel lahochin al yamacher, if his intent is to prepare it to use for the next day, I feel al yom tov sheni, even if the next day is the second day of yom tov, so that's also, that's obviously not permitted. You can't prepare one day yom tov for the next. So what do you want to do? You want to go and lachtech resh apsil. You want to cut off the top of the wick. Klomer, apsil ha nisraf is the part of this, the wick which was burnt. Lachashim is a tikkun mana. So the what's the chiddush over here?
Oh, Mr. Merav is sad.
It's not considered tikkun mana. Okay. It's considered a tikkun in the wick. But mashem esar kechelas, you're taking away the carbon which is there. So that is that's not considered enough of a tikkun to make it osur. However, let's say I decide that the wick is too long and I want to shorten the wick or something of that sort. However, to use a kli to cut the wick, the actual wick itself short, not to take off the charcoal on the top, but to actually shorten the wick of that sort, for whatever reason you felt that was necessary, so that is considered a tikkun, which would be you're fixing up the kli. We look at the wick as a kli. Kli meaning not necessarily that it holds something, but it's an item which is used, it has a utilitarian purpose, so that's considered a kli, and you're doing a tikkun in that kli, making it more usable by making it shorter. So that's not permitted. Okay, then the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah continued and said in Sukkot Chavtes, that the remainders of the shemen and the psilo are mutter from one day Yom Tov after Shabbos or one day Rosh Hashanah to the next. Rotzalomer. Lafuke midasas poiskim the Sri Lahu. This is the remorse coming to stress that we disagree with the poiskim, which say that they say when if it goes out on Shabbos, you cannot relight it on Yom Tov. So that's their opinion. So he says, Kamash will, and therefore the Ramah comes and tells me to show you that is not true and that it is permitted. So we've discussed this concept of that passive hachanas from Shabbos to Yom Tov are prohibited. Let's say the egg which is born on Yom Tov after Shabbos, since the gemar of the egg was finishes developing in the chicken 24 hours prior, it was laid on Yom Tov, means it was nigmar on Shabbos. So we said that's prohibited because you can't have a completion which takes place on Shabbos helping you for Yom Tov. It's all included in the pasuk of that on a weekday can be mechen for Yom Tov and not Shabbos. Shabbos cannot be mechen, cannot prepare for Yom Tov. So we're also, this wick now burns better, and that took place due to something which took place on Shabbos. You cannot use that on Yom Tov. So that's the argument of those which say that it's prohibited. So it comes along the Ramah says that we say that that's not true. Over here, all the cases where there is a significant change, over here, the wick is there, and just it burns better. Better is not, when we talk about the idea of hachana, making something better is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is changing it from usable, you know, being not usable to being usable. That's the hachana that we're talking about.
What makes it better?
When a wick is been lit one time beforehand, then it goes out, it's easier to light a second time.
All right, that's what that
has. Right, so that's if a case where it goes out, he lit it Erev Shabbos, it goes out on Shabbos, now you want to light it on Yom Tov, which is Motzi Shabbos. It comes out that going out on Shabbos benefited your halakha on Motzi Shabbos. That's the question. So he says it's Motzi. But he tells you, I only have a service him in Tav Kuf Alef, Mishabur, Mashak Sabdim, Bezeb, B'Shem Achranim. However, he did bring this opinion which disagrees, and therefore it is preferred lechatchila to be machmer. So, what should you do? So the Shar Tzion says in Sivkat Lamed Ches, what he suggests to do in that situation is you can't use new wicks, and you can't make new wicks on Yom Tov. What you can do is prepare wicks from before this Shabbos Yom Tov combination on Friday. Prepare some extra wicks, or he says, or turn the wick around. Take this wick which is burnt on one end, which you're saying you shouldn't benefit from that end. Take the wick out, put it back in with the other end, which has not been lit yet, sticking up. And use the other end. So that's the chachila. That would be proper to do the chachila. To be take the opinion which says that it's a problem into consideration. Okay. Hey. So this is maybe a some element of which is relevant for us nowadays. Okay. Hey, ner shabatolo the hainu shenot sarakli also the hadlika. You cannot light a ner which you have no purpose for. So Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean? Obviously, he's lighting it. He has a reason why he's lighting it. So we'll see what's called non-purposeful that is prohibited, because they have to do malacha on Yom Tov is because there's a tzarach Yom Tov. There's some need for Yom Tov. The nearest they would light in the shul. So Mishnah Berurah points out not only the ones you use at nighttime, obviously those are valid, but even the ones you do by daytime, which they are there to show respect to the shul, it makes it look nice when there's nearest lit. It's also that's lachosh shabbatol. That's not considered for no purpose. And therefore they're permitted to be lit. Afilu b'yom tov sheni achar mincha. Even on the second day, which after Mincha, which you're now going into Matzi Yom Tov, and Matzi Yom Tov comes out. The main benefit will be from the snare will be really afterwards when you're going to daven Maariv by the light of the snare. They didn't have electric lighting, obviously. It's still Motzer. It's not considered that you're preparing for weekdays. Right now, when you're lighting it, there's a benefit from it at that point in time. When you lit it, the fact that it also benefits afterwards doesn't bother us. To prepare the wicks, and the shashios is the lamp. There was put oil in, I guess, whatever that would be. On Yom Tov after Mincha, Im Rotz Alalika, but Yom is what you plan to light it at that point in time, so it's permitted. If Vim Lav, if you're not planning to light it at that point in time, you only plan to light it after Yom Tov, so then you're preparing on Yom Tov for the weekday, and that's also. So that Im Lav is also. Mishabur Sakat Lamed. So Ner Shebatolah. Dahino Shein Utsarach Loi. Let me boy him ain loy bahavarosa tsar klau, the usr. That if there's no need at all when you light it, so not only that case is usr. Well, the Kama Poskim, he says in the brackets, the ikav is a chi of Malkus, ayin sim, and tov kafir ches. A person would light, do malocha an yamtiv, for no purpose at all. There's no benefit at all for yamtiv even. In any way, shape, or form. So, what's the halachas? This is machlokas rishonim. It's machlokas poskim. I think we've discussed the idea before, called the concept of that of the tarach shehutzal letzarach hutzal namishal letzarach. The Torah really wrote the heter of different doing malachas as the purpose of echol nefesh for eating purposes. We learn out from, according to Beis Hillel, which how we paskin, that once something is permitted for echol nefesh purposes, it's fitted. It's prevented also not for echol nefesh purposes. It's permitted letzarech echol nefesh. It's permitted not letzarech echol nefesh. Now, what is it? Yes, letzarech. It's not letzarech echol nefesh. I don't need it for eating purposes. But what do I yes need it for? So this is b'chol kedushanim tin Rashi and Tosis. Rashi learns that you don't need it at all. But the heter mitoich is that it's motor. Once the Torah permitted this malacha is permitted, even though there's no tzarech at all. Tosfos disagrees and says that it must have a tzarech yomtiv. There must be some yomtiv benefit. You don't need echol nefesh. So if I'm allowed to carry on yomtiv for food purposes, so I'm allowed to carry because I want to take a walk. I want to carry my child out for a walk. Right? That's not an echol nefesh purpose, but that's a tzarech yomtiv. Right? I want to carry a sefer Torah somewhere to lay in from, or I want to take a sefer to learn. But I'm just carrying it because, like, why not? So that's going to be osur. And it'll be chayav malchus, because it's a melacha d'oraisa. Now, even according to Rashi, there is a point where you hit a melacha d'oraisa. Let's say you would take that same thing and do it for a goy, which you cannot do on yomtiv. So that's chayav malchus. Or if a person would have had to do it for weekday. I'm not doing it for no purpose at all. So there's for echol nefesh, for a yomtiv purpose, for no purpose at all, and I'm doing it explicitly for a weekday. Right? That Rashi is that case will get malchus. That case will get malchus. Even according to Rashi. But personally, I'm not thinking, why am I doing it? Because. Right? I'm like the rest of the mankind, I do things because. Right? So, according to Rashi, that's not going to be Chayav Malchus. According to Rashi, that would be Chayav Malchus. So, not only in the case that there's no need at all for the lighting of the lamp. Just lighting because, you're lighting. There is some type of a benefit. For example, Laharois Oshroi Upizroi Noisov. I want to show how rich I am that I can light a lot of, I can afford to light a lot of lamps. Right? So I want people to walk by and see that in every single one of my houses there's this brilliantly lit chandelier with with 15 candles burning in it. That's why I want to light it. That's a tzarech. Right? No. Kima shemi skavim bezeh letzarech yomtiv or letzarech kufoy klau is also, there's no benefit for yomtiv. There's no benefit for you. You don't get a physical benefit out of it. That's awesome. Okay, and the voice is that l'kavod yomtiv. Pashat u'mutzer b'gam mitzvah. If you do it because I want the house to look brilliantly lit in order that yomtiv should look nice, so that's called tzarech yomtiv. And that's definitely mutzer. And not only that, it's a mutzer, it's a mitzvah. Even though you already have lit the neiris of bracha, you add more neiris to make it look more bright, that makes it more enjoyable. So that's going to be permitted. That's no question about that. Now, I'll give you an example where this applies nowadays. So one of the questions we deal with nowadays is lighting neiris on the second day Yom Tov. You know, once the first day Yom Tov, you're lighting the neiros, and you have electric lights in the house. So what are you lighting the neiros for? You're not lighting the neiros for, in other words, once upon a time they lit the neiros, at that point in time it was dark in the house. So that's clearly you're lighting with Tzarech the Yom Tov. You need light in the house. But over here, you're not lighting with Tzarech Yom Tov. I have lights. But on the other hand, it looks nice to have nice neiros, you know, lit for the table, etc. So I'm adding a covered Yom Tov by having these nice neiros lit over there. I had the situation, somebody called me up I think it was must have been Erev Pesach, that they're staying by a hotel for Pesach, and they were told very clearly that, you know, the place that they have to light is this little side, you know, hallway off to the side. He said you can't light on the second day. What's the Tzarech Yom Tov? Nobody's going to see it. There's some tea light sitting on a tray in a hallway that nobody sees. Where's the Tzarech Yom Tov? It doesn't add any covered Yom Tov by people lighting their neiros off onto the sides. I don't see a head to the light.
So there's no story to say that's because they have Benos Yisrael just to be one week neiros and
Shabbos. You're lighting on Yom Tov. You're doing a malacha. Doing a malacha deraisa, potentially. It has to have a valid reason.
Minhag is also sometimes very stronger reason.
Yeah, but the minhag is because the minhag was to light neiros for the purpose of Yom Tov. That was the minhag.
Right, that's when they did the light. But over the generations, can't you say that it's now become minhag in itself? This is what we do.
It's hard to say. I mean, you know, that was the mitzvah chazal was lahadik neir shal Yom Tov. The chazal were masakim because this way Yom Tov will be beautified. So if you do it in a way which is on your table, I don't have a problem. You're beautifying Yom Tov. It's a different way than what Chazal's intention was, but just stop the light because, you know, I don't think there was never such a minute.
So was the psak in that case not to make a bracha, but for the first day either?
The first day was also problematic because, you know, there has to be some tzarech Yom Tov.
It's not a malacha, it's done with some
riyantar. So
would you make a bracha on it?
I told them, I says, listen, if you're in the same room, the maestro, there's lights in there, I hear something. If you could even see it from where you're sitting, so you could tell me the first day, maybe I will get away with it. The second day, I'll be dealing with Shalom, but in Isser, it would be hard to say it's a mutter. I told them to please speak over there to the management that they could make a different arrangement. So this had to make sense when it's nighttime. So nighttime, you know, the Mishnah Berurah's had to, because you know, the more nearest, the nicer it is. So in your house, it's not considered, you know, in the shul, it's not even b'yom, because there's a covet of the basic knesses of having them lit in your house. Mishnah Berurah says, b'yom, I'm going to see a problem. Okay, because it's light out. And if it's light out, so what are you lighting them for? So Bisham and Lila of the Yom Tov, it's the more nearest the better. It looks it's more well lit. But daytime, what are you doing? And also I think, I don't know whether it's true or not, I'm not a major bucky, you know, they're having candles on your table. It's usually more of a common type of a thing when you're, you know, in a darker type of a room, in a well lit room. So it doesn't really go over so well. So here's the problem. Let's say so Yom Tov is Erev Shabbos. So you need to light Neiris on Yom Tov the Tzarek Shabbos. You're lighting its B'yayim. So, in the good old days, when there's no electric lights, by the time you lit neighbors in the house, it was already close to evening, the house was getting dark already. So, those neighbors that you lit on Yom Tov have an immediate benefit for Yom Tov, plus they have the benefit for Shabbos. But nowadays, if you have a well-lit, electrically lit room, you're not eating the meal then, right? So, there's very little tzarech. You can try to say there's tzarech Yom Tov, but lighting at that point in time. Elamai what? For Shabbos. So that'll be told in the Mechloikis whether you're allowed to do tzarech Shabbos on Yom Tov. We pass, Mishnah Berurah passed in the Chachil, we pass, and you don't say you're allowed to do tzarech Shabbos on Yom Tov. You have to rely on the council called Hoyol. Since there's a benefit for Yom Tov, you can benefit for Shabbos also. So what's the benefit for Yom Tov over here? So Shlomo Zalman held was a problem. That was a problem in the situation. So he would suggest that nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have the Eitzes, and he would suggest if you have a timer, you can set the neighbors to go off, your electric lights to go off for a few minutes on Erev Shabbos, during the time you'd be lighting your neighbors. So this way, when you light the neighbors, there's actually benefit from the neighbors in the house at that point in time. So if Yom Tov is Erev Shabbos and Shkia is 6:30, so you light neighbors at 6:10, so you set your timer that 6:10, the electric lights go off, and you light the neighbors at that point in time when the room, which is already somewhat darkened.
And hope that your timer is that precise.
Yeah, okay, right. I would definitely not advise you to... many of them seem to make a lot on it. It's a good question why they make a lot on it. But the mice that's many other machines they make on it. Okay. Yesh bris mila b'bayis, shenogam l'hadik neiris, mistar b'de mutter, the chosa kovet b'chib b'mitzvah hu. It's also considered an element of kovet, and we grew up in tells that there was neiris, every single bris, there was the minig was to put like 13 candles, and every single bris they would light right next to the table where the bris was, they would light the menorah or whatever it was, 13 candles. So if you have that minig, I've never seen it around here.
Is that looking forward to the bar mitzvah?
You know what? The minig is where the number 13 came from, I don't know.
Evening, Dr. Cooper.
So if you have the bris milah on Yom Tov in the house, and the minig was the light neiris there, so he says that was also considered a tzarech. Tzarech of the mitzvah, as much as the mitzvah is Tzarech Yom Tov, so that, it's considered Tzarech to do the mitzvah in a nice way. So that's mutter. Abbas HaBeis HaKnesses is not considered Baltola because it's considered cover of the tefillah. Lamed Aleph. Abbas HaBeis HaKnesses, it's not considered Shal Baltola. When we boy belayla, not only at night time, sharei yesh kan tzarech mitzvah hayom, your mamash daven by it, when they would light the neiros in shul at night time. Shemei neiros dolkim lo yisas v'sham ha'om lispalov. It's not a lot of lit. It's not well lit. People would not want to come to daven. Elafila b'yom nami mutzer. He says, so by daytime also it's going to be mutter. She covered a mokum, it's covered of Kodesh Baruch Hu. She never kavdus Hashem ba'urim. Pasuk says that you give cover to Kodesh Baruch Hu with fire. So the fire brands. So there is the lighting of neiros is considered a way of giving cover to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. After mincha, because can cut a mincha, the mutter, the shugam came the cover of tefillah. Before mincha, obviously it's mutter, because you're lighting it to cover the tefillah. After mincha, what are you getting out of it? So, it's still mutter because for the next few minutes of Yom Tov, you have the neiros there. Yesh mitzvah. Lamed gimel. Rasul Amar, afilo ein tzarech lor, even though you don't need the lights, she'or yom gal, it's still light out. Afilo hochi ein ikah mitzvah lahadik mishum kabad beis haknesses. Lighting in the shul is kabad. V'mukvar samach l'chashecha. If it's already close to evening, afilo beis ha'shore lahadik, sh'rei tzarech hu loy b'oys ha'shore. Because by that point in time, already in the house, it's getting darker. So even in your house, that's mamash a real valid need. Loisa Shaw, you have a bit mitzvah at that point in time. Let me get Lamadal. Masha, feel it ain't shum all the basicness. It's showing my time. The heter is not because people are benefiting from it. The heter is there's a covenant given to the shul by the fact that there are neiris there. Then he said, Lasak and Apsilis, to prepare the Apsilis and the container, the lamp, if you need it for Yom Tov, it's mutter. If you need it for the next day, it's awesome. So the Sakam Psilis, Mr. Berlam and Hay. Now, but we said if it's not a tzarech yomtiv, it's aser. So over here, I said you're going with the whole process. You fill up the lamp. You put the wicks in. I just want to put out my candles, my wax candles, in my leichter on yomtiv for the next night. Fill the hamid neiris shel shayva the tzarech halayla aser. There's no malacha involved in it. The gam tircha ba'alma aser mishum machana because the iser machana applies to tircha also. And that applies from one day yomtiv to the next. There's an issur of tircha. So just preparing the candles to put them in their place to be able to light them the following night is going to be usur. Take a look in the Bir Halacha on back in Kuvam Gilman Beis 266 in the Bir Halacha Ner Shabbat Tala. So four lines in the bottom. So this issue of let's go back a little bit earlier, even just to the beginning of the piece. Ner Shabbatola. So I'm a Shabur Bain Bamir Bayadaf Yabay Shakosav. Ner Shabbatola, Kloimer, where's Ner Shabbatola? Ner Shoisim Oyster Shalom the Tzarek. You light it for no purpose. El Shem writes him Lamed below near a field of Shoshay Mishem. They like to have the house lit even when they're sleeping. That's called Ner Shabbatola. Ein shamatam the ain't a tzarech yomtiv klal because you don't really need it. Miu, Mishabura points out, bnei olam shem mefachadim lishon imain ner dolok. Mishabur the mutter tavi beklal tzarech kufa. If I can't sleep unless there's light in the house, I'm worried. So that's a valid human need. So then I'm allowed to light it. Kamar the mutter hachem chaim leragla. You can light hot water to clean your feet. He allowed her going out carrying her like a hurricane lamp out into the streets because she was scared to walk in the streets when it was dark without a light. So that's mutter. But I like to have the house being lit during the time. That's not mutter.
I'm sorry, but for the purpose of so you won't stumble at night?
That'd be very definitely mutter. Even a place where they knew well what the path was, there's no concern of that. Just she gets nervous at dark. It's also mutter. Now, what he raises at the bottom, let's skip down to the bottom. Without the near shall yort site, person has a yort. The person has yisker. So people have a custom that they light a near for yisker. So yisker is on yomtiv. So before they go to shul, yomtiv morning they light a near. You should light it in a place where you're eating. The moist of Ere Becheder, because you're adding more light. He's talking about at nighttime. But to light it by daytime, you have a problem with Ner Shabbatola. There's no real physical need. There's no Yomtiv need. It's not a covered mitzvah need. It's you. You have there's a concept of minig, the moist for the neshama of Zanir. He feels that that's a concern of Ner Shabbatol. V'yosetov, she had the kind of way, Sekneses, v'yotze mechashash to Ner Shabbatol. So the best thing to do is light in the shul, because lighting in the shul always is considered the more nairs in the shul, the more covered, that's covered mitzvah. U'b'shas ha'tchak, in a case where that's not possible. Efsher, she yesh tahatim kol gavni, maybe we can be matter it. Why? Maybe the heter is, you know, he's like he's bending over backwards and saying, I can see a heter, it's covered avosav, it's a covered given to the parents by lighting it for them. And therefore, we will allow it. So it means definitely the preferred way of doing it is you take it, you know, you have a Lord said list the last 24 hours to light it Erev Yom Tov. This way it'll be lit then, you know. And if Yisro's the second day Yom Tov, the second day of Shua, second day of Pesach, so the eighth is to light it the night before. When you're lighting the Neiris, and then it's nighttime, so you're adding more light, or light a 48-hour licht from before Yom Tov. The light on Yom Tov day by day is very problematic. He says, but in case the person didn't do it, I can tell you, because I had there, it's a covenant of voice of Semela, I'm not going to tell you it's Aser. There is interesting, that's interesting, that Mishnah Berurah said before in Hilchos Shabbos, so Mir La'akum, Ana Deraisa is Mutter Ben Hashmoshes, if this is a Tzarech Mitzvah. So, a person forgot the Yad Yortzeit Licht, and his Yortzeit is on Shabbos. So Mishnah Berurah said, well, it's Mutter to tell a Goy to light the Yortzeit, because it's considered like a Tzar for him. Because people are Makban on it very much, so it's considered like a Tzar, so that's also a valid Tzarech. So he recognizes that the people have that feeling, and still he's not sure that over here I says he had to do it on Yom Tov, because there's not a real element of kavod mikir adin. It's not kavod Yom Tov, it's not kavod mitzvah. So he's not sure that it should be mutter. B'shazat chak, efshur, you can say such a heter. So he's very, very strongly, a person should not be in that situation. A person should make an arrangement to light in such a way that he shouldn't be involved in that issue. That being said, if you see somebody else's makbid, you know, who's not doing that, you know, you have that the F-shir of the Mishnah Berurah in the bottom, over the Bir Lach on the bottom to rely on. Okay, Vav. Ein noisin ner agavi ilan me'er v'yomtas. So you want to put a lamp, oil lamp, hanging on a tree, or put on a tree. So you can't put it there on Yom Tov, because you can't be Mishtamash Yilin, you can't use a tree on Yom Tov. You can't do an act to use a tree on Yom Tov. If I put it there beforehand, I'm not doing the act of being Mishtamash, the Hishtamash, the usage of the tree was done every Yom Tov by putting it there. You still shouldn't put it there. The Cheshin and Shami Yavah, the Hishtamash Yilin, because they're afraid he'll come to Mishtamash Yilin, he might take it off. Taking it off is also called being Mishtamash. Lamed Vav. Mr. Burris had cut Lamed Vav. Mayor of Yom Tov. The Yom Tov Pshita Nos, you can't put it there on Yom Tov. Hanocha B'chal Shemeshu. Putting it there is using the tree. I feel like he nech Mayor of Yom Tov. Adashi Yemunach Shem B'Yom Tov. He put it there on Yom Tov, planning to leave it there on Yom Tov. Still Oster. So he said before, to put it there from before Shabbos, it's Mutter. Because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move it. So once you put it there from before Shabbos, it's staying there the whole Shabbos. But in Yom Tov, that you're allowed to move a Nair, Nair is not Muksa. The Kiman of Yom Tov, Mutter the Tatal Nair, you're allowed to move a Nair. Because she didn't Yishevah Litzum, Yishevah, you might take it from there. And move it. But Gamze B'chlal Shimush Dosu Chachamim. Taking off of the tree is also called using a tree, you know, that, like we explained over there. Kanal B'Sim and Shilam B'Vav Sif Aleph HaGoh, that taking off is also Aser. So a common situation, I remember it happened more than once, and they had the summer camp, so they would go out, you know, Shabbos afternoon, they take the boys out to a field, sit down on a tree, and tell them a story. So there's always inevitably one kid would take his jacket off and hang it on a tree. Right? So the counselor would notice and says, you know, once it's there, you can't take it off. You can't take it off either. Taking off is also called Mishtam Shpilin. Once it's there, it's there. It stays until after Shabbos. So it was Masha Sima Makarba Shem Yavoyu Kwanishna didn't say Elba Simon Reshayan Zayin Siftal. This already was said by Shabbos, the same halacha. By Shabbos, however, we said it's not a problem because by Shabbos, you're not allowed to move an air. You're not allowed to move an air when it's lit, you're not allowed to move an air after it goes out. So once you put it before Shabbos, what are you worried about? But on Yom Tov, it's a problem. Okay. Zion. Ein pechasin ner shalcheres. So what does pechasin mean? It means the hanu ba'oder rach, when the clay is still soft, you have the yotzer, the person who's making the potter, and he has these clumps of clay, and they look somewhat in the shape of like a round shape, that's what they're referred to as bayim, eggs. So the this clump of clay, you want to go and press into the sides. Lamayach oisan b'yad, less it's like base kibble. You want to press in press it in, and make a shape which could hold oil. So you can't do that on yomtiv. And they should always be clear. You're making a kli. Okay, Mishabur Lamazayim, pretty straightforward. Oisak kli. Within the problem kishdayim hurach, a similar problem. When it's still soft, mesimin kash or shardover ba'aviroi midair from the time. You put something in the middle, you put some type of a straw or something in the middle between the sides. Kedesh lo yiplo defanos yachad, that they shouldn't fall in. Also, little mekash mitoicher beyomtiv behind time. You can't take so. Right now, that's how it's sitting. So taking it out is the final step of the process of making the kli. You've made the kli. You've shaped it. You need to take out the form which is holding it in place. So the taking out the form is also awesome. Okay. Two kelim which were made together in some type of a mold. You made two together. You cut down the middle. Two lamps, a kosis, two cups. You can't cut them in the middle. You're making a functional kli now. However, if you made them separately, and then before they totally dried, one leaned on the other and they got stuck, that's not prohibited to take it apart. Because the kli was a total kli, and now it happened to be that something happened with no intention, that's not called that you lost, that it became ois kli, that's called tikkun kli when you take it apart. One second. Similar to the idea that the Magen Aram says that there's a malach of Kareya, but if you have two pages, and then the Shem Nemes, if you have two pages which are glued together, tearing them apart is the malach of Kareya. So he says, however, that's only if you intended to put them together. If some glue dripped on the paper unintentionally, if it got stuck to something else, it's not also to take it apart. Because it's not, there were the two distinct separate items. You have no intent to make them one. So we hear it happens to lean on one top of the other. When it's still a little bit soft, and they get stuck together. There's no way of taking it apart. Let's do the mechaberim test, the mechaberim and the leaving shabbos tomorrow. You want to cut the wick into two pieces. And now you'll have two wicks. So you want to save the wick is too long, you want a shorter wick. Or you want to, why should I use this long wick for one container? I can use it for two separate containers, or I can say put one away for after yomtiv. So I want to cut it into two pieces. So you cannot do that. Because you're making a second wick by doing that. Elaim Kain Ayadeh. The only way you could do it is Shinoisen Shneap Roshel Befi Shnei Neiris. You have two oil lamps. You take this long wick and put one end of the wick in one lamp, and the other end of the wick in the other lamp. Then you light in the middle. Malikabam, so you light in the middle. So over here, the moment of you're doing this act of taking it apart, it is the moment of your mom is benefiting from the light. So that's, since this Isser of the Tikkun Mona is not a derisa to the Rabbanon, so if it's not clearly that his intent is for the purpose of making the kli, maybe his goal is to light two lamps, and he's like, you know, he's a cute guy, and he likes to do it, instead of doing it like most normal human beings, separate wick for each, I mean, one long wick for both, and he cuts it, and burns in the middle to the two sides. So it's not muchach, v'hu yishay tzarech l'shtein, again, that's only mutter if you need both lamps. Because otherwise, viter, you see that your goal over here is just to cut it in half. This all talking about, this was an oil lamp with wicks in the middle. But Mr. Burr will talk about a wax candle. So leave the Mr. Burr's for tomorrow, Bezer Hashem.